You are listening to the Mom Halo Podcast. This sweet ear candy will serve up laughs and aha moments as we talk to best-in-class thought leaders. These folks are dropping gems of genius. I'm Alana Kapitz, CEO and founder of the Mom Halo community. I'm a fun, fearless, freckled mom with three wild kiddos. I love to introduce you to ideas and people that will rock your world, all while laughing out loud, because that is the only way to get through the daily grind of parenthood. Plug in your earphones and let's get to them.
Good Night Sleep Site, a family sleep consulting practice, offers customized one-on-one sleep training programs and online e-courses from babies to teens and adults. Whether you're just entering the world of parenthood and need some baby sleep help, or your once perfect teen sleeper is now throwing you for a loop, Good Night Sleep Site has helped children and families sleep better since 2007. You can book a one-on-one sleep consultation where you'll work directly with a Good Night certified sleep consultant, or if you're an I just need a plan parent, you can purchase their online DIY sleep programs available for ages from newborn to teens. Request to set up a complimentary 15-minute discovery call at info@goodnightsleepsite.com, where you can connect with a Good Night Sleep Site consultant and they can hear more about your child's sleep issues and can explain the best baby to teen program for your specific sleep situation. Also, connect with Alana and her team on Instagram at GNSleepSite.
Hello, and our friends and listeners, I love you today. It's a gorgeous day here in Toronto, 12 degrees on a Friday. And I have an amazing, amazing guest today on the Mom Halo show, scholar, expert, and resident with our program, all around amazing human being. I cannot wait for you to meet Alexa Toronto. Woo! Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us everything about you, who you are, sure. Where you're from, what you do. Tell us about the business. Go for it.
Yeah. So I'm Alexa Toronto. I'm a naturopathic doctor, again, based in Toronto. Wasn't the plan to live here, but it works well with my name. So I work in maternal health care. So I support moms from preconception through to postpartum, because I've witnessed firsthand and with hundreds of patients I've worked with, moms are really falling through the gaps of healthcare. So I aim to fill those gaps. I'm a constant touch point, again, throughout pregnancy or through preconception, pregnancy, and postpartum to help moms feel empowered and thrive, because unfortunately, a lot of moms aren't feeling that way. And I really want to help moms get there, because, you know, being a mom isn't a diagnosis, although I know a lot of people wear that like a badge of honor. So I'm here to change the narrative with that and support the mamas and moms to be.
Great. Tell us how. What is your actual expertise?
Yeah. So as a naturopathic doctor, we work in a very holistic and comprehensive way. So what it looks like when I work with people is everyone does an initial intake with me. It's 75 minutes. We do a deep dive. We go through nutrition, movement, past medical history, and equally important that I don't think other healthcare professionals can really have the time to dive into is really also your story, whether you're struggling with fertility, struggling during pregnancy, or navigating the absolute wild roller coaster of postpartum. I hear your story. We put all the pieces together. And then in my second visit, what we do is we give you a really comprehensive treatment strategy. So we use nutrition, supplements, movement, lifestyle counseling, you know, mental health counseling. If you're in person, we can do acupuncture and other things, herbs. There's a lot in our tool belts. We do a lot of lab work as well, but essentially we don't do the same thing with all patients. It really depends where they're at, what they want to do, what they're interested in, but we have a lot of different tools in our tool belt to help moms feel their best.
I love that so much. How did you come into this profession? Take us to the beginning. Where did it start?
Yeah. So it started over a decade ago. I was living in Kelowna, BC at the time. I was in my early 20s and I had come off birth control. I lost my cycle for over a year. I was constantly bloated. I was really depressed. I just felt horrible. It's not normal to feel that way at 20, to be struggling with all these health issues. And I saw specialists, I saw endocrinologists, I saw a bunch of different people, and I just kept getting no answers, or all my labs looked normal, but there was no real answers. And then as a very last resort, there was a naturopathic doctor that had their office down the street from where I lived. I was like, oh, I'll just see what, like I saw the sign for it. I was like, I'll just see what this is about. I'm not really sure. I remember in my very first visit, I like, you know, jaw to the floor. The questions he asked me was, I've never been asked those types of questions in a health or medical visit before. And within 3 to 6 months of working together, I went from feeling, you know, horrible, no period, bloated all the time, reacting to tons of foods, like, and bloated as in not, my pants were a little tight. Like I looked 9 months pregnant. It was so painful, so extreme. And after working together for about 3 to 6 months, I, you know, got my cycle back. I got diagnosed with hypothyroidism, which is an underactive thyroid. There was a bunch of things we uncovered. And through, you know, diet, lifestyle, nutrition, and movement mindset, I went from feeling absolutely horrible to, you know, boundless energy and thriving. And it really sparked a fire in me to be able to do this with other people. So I was already studying kinesiology at the time. Then I started diving into nutrition. I started shadowing Chinese medicine doctors, and I started getting really into alternative forms of medicine and therapy. And I just couldn't get enough. I studied, acquired a bunch of different certifications over the decade. And then eventually wound up at the naturopathic school. It was always the plan, but things happen, life happens, went traveling, moved countries, did a bunch of stuff before. And then going through the program, I actually had both my daughters in the program. So I really got a different insight into maternal healthcare. And that's why I decided to narrow my focus, because even from my first appointment, I remember I went to my first appointment once I, you know, peed on the stick, had the positive pregnancy test. I went to the walk-in and they all was said, they're like, you actually might've had a miscarriage, come back in 2 weeks. There was like no information because they said my levels weren't high enough. It was so unbelievably cold and clinical. And I found a lot of my exposures through the conventional care system through pregnancy was like that. And I, again, was already in school. So I had my background of naturopathic medicine and other information, and I worked with a naturopath at the time as well, but I really found my ND was my, you know, main person to lean on, whether it was struggling with nausea or heartburn or constipation or whatever it is. It's like I really found none of my other issues were addressed in pregnancy. It was really just, of course, it's a medicalized process, you know, checking on baby, which is a super important, checking on mom, but there was so much else that's missed. You know, pregnancy is such a transformational, stressful, amazing time, and having that support is really important, especially mental health wise. Like a lot of moms struggle with anxiety and depression in pregnancy and postpartum, and it's not really properly addressed conventionally, I find.
Wow, what a story. So you were like living it, breathing it, immersed in it, learning it, practicing it, and here you are with like a thriving practice. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Alexa, when parents or moms to be, or current moms or second time parents or women identified clients call you, what's their chief complaint like in 2024?
Yeah. So I'll say because I work technically with three different populations, like the number one complaint starting at the beginning with the fertility piece, almost all of my patients actually come to me with unexplained infertility. And I don't like that term, because then once I see what's been done, you know, or for a better phrase, what hasn't been done through their lab work, through investigations, you know, checking if there's autoimmune issues or metabolic issues or, you know, blood sugar problems, vitamin D deficiency, all these things that have been shown that it makes it harder to get pregnant and stay pregnant just haven't been done. So when the infertility piece, that population, people come with to me with, you know, quote unquote, unexplained infertility, when in fact it was just, to be honest and kind of blunt, it was just a bad assessment and a lot was missed. I find that a lot. Pregnancy, a lot of it's just, you know, additional support, information about labor, delivery, how to prep for it, things that they don't feel they have the bandwidth in their appointments with their midwives or OBs to really go through with it. So they're ready, you know, mentally, emotionally. I do a lot of labor and delivery prep with moms, and then like things we can do leading up to it. And then postpartum by far is fatigue and depression for sure. Really like people being really tired and their moods, I guess actually equal, I'd say depression, anxiety. It's just people feeling kind of unstable and on the roller coaster postpartum. So it's a lot of tired moms that are struggling with mood for sure.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I've just recently started dabbling in your expertise in your profession. I think it's fascinating the tools in your tool belt that I don't actually have ever seen in any other form of medicine. So if somebody's coming to you with the depression, anxiety, just like top level, you know, give me 1%, like what's the first thing that you can do that perhaps other professions cannot? And it's not necessarily, you know, downplaying other professions. It's just upplaying what kind of resources allow for folks to manage those sorts of things that perhaps they don't even know is available to them to combat these massive things that matrescence brings forth.
Totally. So that's exactly what you said is really important. I think I'm not anti-conventional medicine at all. It plays such an important role, but it also doesn't take a holistic approach. We have a totally different lens of health and medicine. So for when people are struggling with that postpartum, something that we can do, because conventional medicine follows a standard of care, they have guidelines, there's algorithms that they need to follow when someone presents with a symptom like low mood or fatigue. The benefits of naturopathic medicine is we don't. Yes, we still are evidence-based, keep up with the research, but we don't have to follow an algorithm. You know, you don't have to be suffering for 6 months before we do something. So for me, one of the most powerful things that I can do for people immediately is we usually do initial lab work. Like vitamin D, I run in every single patient that's open to doing it. It's $39 in Ontario. It's not overly inaccessible. And it has been shown to be very strongly linked to postpartum depression. And especially where we live, so many moms are not even like a little bit deficient, are extremely deficient, where I then refer them to get vitamin D injections because they're so low kind of thing. So it's honestly like I was actually just going through my labs this morning and I had two patients in the last 4 month window that had okay vitamin D levels, like that didn't need supplementation. The rest do. So even just the fact I can do that and see them, be like, okay, let's run any lab work to make sure there's not any underlying imbalances, whether their thyroid's out of whack or their iron's really low. A lot of moms are iron deficient, which directly impacts energy levels. So for me, I just run these things immediately because I can. Like we have a lab called the fatigue panel where I'll just run it, make sure nothing's going on. There usually is. So that's for me really great because I get the test results in 2 to 3 days and then I can implement a plan with people within a week to really support their short-term and long-term energy levels and mood.
Yeah, I love that. I think the hustle and the tools available are important. I think I just got schooled a bit on vitamin D this year for the first time because I didn't really understand the important role it plays in our life. And I didn't really understand that, like, when you go on a vacation to a sun destination and you get that boost, like it gives you, the reason you feel good is literally from the sun on you, in you, near you. So correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't best practice like to sort of, you know, up your ante, it doesn't matter who you are, for vitamin D, especially in Canada, from like September to May? Is that sort of the best practice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And most people, even if you're supplementing, you can still be deficient. A lot of people are supplementing at the lowest possible dose, and sometimes it's not enough. And some people have conditions that need way higher amounts. It's like, it's so individual. So my motto, people hear me say all the time in practice, is like, we test, we're not going to guess, because by looking at someone, I can't guess your vitamin D level. Like there's no way. People absorb it differently. Some people need way higher doses to get to the same amount. It's so individual. So we always test instead of making any assumptions.
Yeah. And how does vitamin D actually work? Like it comes into your skin through your eyes or through your, how do you actually receive vitamin D?
Yeah, there's different. That's the thing too. So there's vitamin D2, vitamin D3. There's different types of vitamin D metabolized in different ways. And that's why even for people that spend a lot of time in the sun, sometimes the way that we manufacture it and can actually absorb it is different. And that's why the vitamin D we always recommend for patients, it needs to say vitamin D3 on it. It's the best absorbed for us and will have like the biggest impact on our health because there's actually even different types. And again, the big thing I do find is even people supplementing, some people just need a lot more to get to that baseline level. And one thing too I wanted to note about that is if your levels are quote unquote normal, that still might not be in the therapeutic range. Like that's something that we do differently as naturopathic doctors is let's say your levels are at 75, which is clinically normal. For us, we want to see them at 120 because that's where people feel better and there's better outcomes for mood, postpartum depression, for reducing the risk of miscarriage. Like there's the adequate range is what's enough to function as a human. But I want more than that for people. I want people to thrive and feel well, you know, one amazing life to live. Like why not feel the absolute as best as you can, of course, because then we can live out our lives in a different way. So our window is much narrower and typically higher than what is seen on regular lab work. We work in a different kind of optimal window to get people in to where they'll feel like truly well.
Truly well. I feel like that is like why do you think like generally people are, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just adulthood or postpartum or, you know, once you're always postpartum, I feel like there is the barometer of wellness is just this constant state of being in disease, you know, like people are just, and it's almost like that becomes a badge of honor, like sleeplessness or suffering or, I don't know, this like hot messness of motherhood versus like, you know, celebrating things that seem almost impossible. And for me, I mean, I'm just at it now, I think, for really the first time in motherhood, like feeling quite well. But optimal wellness feels so few and far between. Why is that, Alexa, do you think?
Is your child's potential not reflected in their report cards? Introducing Tutor Me Toronto, your premier destination for tutoring. With certified teachers and a sharp focus on student success, it has established itself as a trusted and relevant name in nurturing young minds. Many students struggle with internal barriers and distractions that hinder their academic success. Tutor Me tutors help break down that wall, forge a profound connection, and implement study habits that get students over and beyond the hump. Their team of experienced tutors, handpicked for their expertise and dedication, ensures your child receives personalized attention and support on their academic journey. Plus, they offer best-in-class virtual sessions that bring interactive learning experiences right to your doorstep, and in-person tutoring for grades 1 through 6 at their newest location in the heart of Liberty Village. Enroll your child today and take advantage of a special offer for new registrations. Sign up by August 2024 for in-person group tutoring and get 6 one-hour sessions for only $150. Call 905-933-8738 or sign up online at tutormetoronto.com. For academic success that goes beyond the classroom, invest in your child's future with Tutor Me Toronto.
But optimal wellness feels so few and far between. Why is that, Alexa, do you think?
I think it's twofold. I think one of them is, especially in our society right now, like we're definitely not set up, of course, in the village society that moms really need and deserve. Of course, you know, there are places in that world that really abide by that, that, you know, the moms don't leave the house for the first 40 days and everyone just brings food to the mom and nourishes the mom. Like definitely our society, unfortunately, is not set up like that. So I think for the immediate postpartum, moms feel a lot worse than they need to because of our, unless you have a lot of, you know, your relatives moving in with you or people like hired help or whatever it is. I think it's really hard on our setup for it. It's not organized to support moms to their best ability in our society and in our culture for the most part. Again, some places around the world do that really beautifully still. And then the other thing too, I think some moms, they have felt unwell for so long, is that does just become the new baseline and they don't know how bad they feel until they feel better. And I think too, a big thing, and I have people that when they book because I do free discovery calls, like 15 minutes to make sure we're a good match, it's what they're looking for, is they think it's going to be this entire huge life overhaul and it's going to be incredibly stressful and super expensive. And I don't work that way. It's like we make small little changes, even, you know, just like eating protein, like higher protein, or getting enough protein in the morning, or not just eating your kids' scraps, or prioritizing yourself. Like I know moms are so selfless. Obviously, we do everything possible for our kids. But part of the role I play for moms and advocating for moms is also just reminding them that like their wellness is important there. And also it impacts their kids. You know, when kids see you exercise, monkey see, monkey do, they're more likely to do it. Or the way that we eat, or the way that we talk about food and our relationships with health is, I think I always try to stress to moms, like the more we can prioritize for this, it just, our kids will just have that inherently, which is such a beautiful gift to give our kids, you know, the benefit of a healthy relationship with food, of, you know, like the, just seeing movement incorporated into our lives. Like I really try to stress that, but I think, yeah, I know it's a long-winded answer, but I do think people don't realize how unwell they are until we start to make these little tweaks. And then, you know, their energy levels goes up. They don't need to go for the third or fourth cup of coffee. They don't, you know, like all those little things, they start to shift for sure.
I love that. Okay, talk to me about vitamins and supplements. How do they work in your practice or in your profession?
Yeah. So in my, again, that's the thing with naturopaths. It's pro and con. There's no standard of care. So we all practice differently, but at the same time, we have the freedom to truly individualize it. So with supplementation, I always first start with the four foundations of health with people before I'm throwing supplements at it, ideally like nutrition, movement, sleep, and stress management. With that said, in motherhood, some of those foundations are hard to get in place, like sleep. A lot of that's out of our control. Like my daughter's 4. And as soon as my younger one started sleeping through the night, now my 4-year-old's up all the time and in our bed. Like sleep is hard for a lot of moms. And a lot of it's out of our control when our kids are waking up, of course. So with that said, when one of the foundations is harder to get in place, whether it's sleep or stress management or maybe nutrition or whatever that person's hurdle is, I think supplementation plays such a beautiful role. Just even for example, like with a lot of moms that are very stressed and very tired, I'll recommend a type of herbs, different ones, but they're called adaptogens. What the class of herbs is essentially it buffers our stress response mentally, emotionally, and physically, and kind of helps carry us over that stressful point of our life. It really helps us buffer on a hormonal level, on a stress level. So I think supplementation, especially for moms, is such an amazing way to kind of fill in the gaps when we can't really nail our daily routine or the foundations. Cause like, as you know, things are so unexpected in parenthood. Kids are homesick or someone's not sleeping or whatever it is. Things come up. So I really like supplementation for moms because it helps making sure we're getting all of our nutrients. We're helping, you know, combat the effects of stress and or maybe aiding in sleep or whatever it is. It's super tailored. I like to take a minimal approach. You'll never come to me and like, here, take these 5 to 10 things. It's like, we'll be really targeted because I also want to see what's working. And the thing I like to tell people with that too is like with supplements, we usually need to give it a full 2 to 3 months to really see the magnitude, to see the benefit. It's not as quick as a pharmaceutical, but they have a lot of, there's so many out there. And I love finding the best one for that person at the time.
I love that so much. Tell me, what's like the other names of that meds you were just referring to? The
buffer?
Yeah, like what is that?
An example. Yeah. So the adaptogens, that's an umbrella term for it. So adaptogens are any herb that has properties to buffer the impacts of stress. Like it can, if we're really tired or we're really anxious, it kind of brings us to a midline. Like they work really well they modulate, meaning they can kind of bring you down or bring you up depending on how you're feeling. So just some examples would be like ashwagandha is a really, really, it's like one of the more common ones. There's like rhodiola, ginseng. There's a ton of herbs. There's like an endless amount of herbs that fit in that umbrella. And usually I recommend a combination one for people. But it depends. Like the reason too why I love what we do in working one-on-one is we tailor it, right? So let's just say someone came to me that's really exhausted, but also is really anxious and has a lot of, you know, ruminating thoughts. I'll pick 2 or 3 herbs, put it in one liquid bottle for them to take that's targeted towards that, because there's so many herbs that have specific properties. For example, some are really good at decreasing bloating. Some are really good at, you know, working with decreasing ruminating thoughts. Some are good anti-inflammatory for joint pain. So depending what someone has going on, I'll often combine a few things to give one dose of something that can hit all their main complaints. Because everyone's different. We all present with different things. So I like to formulate something really specific for people, which is the whole benefit of working one-on-one with a practitioner. We can make it really targeted instead of taking whatever we see, you know, like an Instagram influencer taking, it might not work for them. It's so individual.
Right. I love that so much. Yeah, I just think it's such a unique offer. And I think I've like, it's interesting. I feel like your profession is really on an uptick right now. And I think people are, the more we can expose people to additional options, that's why I love this podcast. And that's why I love, you know, all the shows that we do through Instagram and et cetera, is to take someone like you. And obviously you are extremely well-versed and a genius of your area. And for people to understand that this isn't like a scary, big thing. And it's funny, right? Like we talk about what's expensive, right? What's expensive? Diabetes is expensive. Like depression is expensive, you know, being anxious all the time, that's expensive. But, you know, the actual dollars and cents of, you know, a short-term investment for a long-term gain, like there's no better, I think, gift women can give themselves, the ability to immerse themselves in understanding themselves better. And you guys do that. You do that, Alexa, right? So do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think it's so important because that's what I like to explain to people when we talk about the price of the visits is one thing good to know, a lot of extended benefits do cover naturopathic medicine now, which is great. But another thing too, like you said, it's not like we're exchanging the amount of money for an hour or for time is we're creating a whole strategy. A lot of our work is actually done outside the visit, whether it's reviewing, you know, people send me labs from the whole past year where I'll spend an hour, go through all their labs, put the pieces together. If they're having blood sugar problems or cholesterol, it's like we spend a lot of our time actually outside the visit. And then, you know, pulling the research together and formulating a truly unique customized plan that's both short-term and long-term, and that it's also sustainable. I agree. I think with the, when people are looking at the price or debating investing in their health, it really is a long-term investment. And again, you're not paying, let's say it's $250 for an hour and a half. You're spending that for a long-term health strategy that's unique to you, that's sustainable. And that's another big thing too, when we're working with people, it's like we really meet people where they're at. And I always make sure people leave, you know, like clear, they understand. And I always give people, like when they leave my office, they have at minimum like a 3-month strategy. And then what I usually do with most people, what seems to work is then every so often as needed, we book in little 15, 30 minute check-ins to tackle any hurdles. Cause it's also too, like the big thing that we do, a lot of it ends up being some coaching as well, because if it was as easy as to, you know, read on the internet how to eat healthy and move, everybody would do it. But obviously there's real hurdles. There's real hurdles postpartum as well that I dive into, whether it's, you know, back pain or pelvic floor dysfunction or other things. It's like we need to, or, you know, having no childcare or not knowing how to work out at home. Like we need to overcome these barriers. We do them in the appointments. And we also sit down, or I sit down specifically, and I get patients to tell me, okay, when exactly are you working out? Because we have to plan it out. We need to block those times off. We need to plan when we're getting our groceries or doing things like that, or it doesn't happen. It's really easy to, you know, quote unquote, know what to do. It's implementing the strategy into our lives. That's the hard piece to stay consistent with. So that's like a big part of what we do.
Yeah. For me, it's been like a very interesting health and wellness journey. And I think my problem that I would like love your profession for is the fact that I feel like I've had 3 pregnancies back to back that were like very stressful, like between COVID and having a really medical fragile kiddo and living out in and out of those stress moments. I feel like this is the first time, like I just keep saying like, please 2024, please be good to me. Like just give us all, like when I say all, I mean, my gut intuition is that every mom in our community needs 2024 to just be a little bit more gentler and kinder to us in every possible way. And people have had such big traumatic moments, and it doesn't matter what your trauma is, big or small, it's your trauma. That's your story. What I love about your industry and why I think it's so important that you and I have this important conversation today is like, you have so many unique tools in your tool belt, that can get us to a place of wellness. And it's just about you, right? It's about you, your individual DNA, your individual lifestyle. And I'm just personally going through a big shift for the first time, probably in a decade, where I'm like, I am feeling, it's not about feeling in control. I just feel like I am finally hitting a stride where like, I worked out this morning. I felt great. You know,
amazing.
I'm eating my proteins. I feel great. I'm doing weight training. I feel great. My body is slowly, as slow as molasses, changing, but it's changing, you know? So I just feel like, and much of that has to do with the fact that I've, for the first time in my life, working with somebody like you and in your profession. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So tell us how movement works in your opinion. Is it cardio junkies? Is it just doing 20 minutes of exercise? How does the movement piece go? Because I think that for people is like, you know, the vitamins and the minerals and the coaching and the blood work all seems like kind of a really nice thing that you're able to do and implement. But I feel like moving and nourishment are the hard ones. And I think for a lot of people, mm-hmm. that will always be the hard one. So how do you, Alexa, guide somebody down those paths? What's the advice you would give high level to somebody who's just having to like revisit these things for the first time?
Totally. I think it's so important. The big thing I always ask people, and they're always surprised when I ask this, I'm like, what do you like to do, like movement wise? Like I had totally have had people that are like, I hate biking, but I've signed up for these spin classes. I'm like, don't do that. Like you need to find something that you like, because if we enjoy it, it'll be much more sustainable. So the biggest thing, I really believe there's no like best movement. Of course, there's things that would be ideal for certain people. I'm a big fan of weight training. It's so important, especially as we age, like for our muscle mass, for our energy levels, all of that. I think weight training, ideally, everybody should do it. I'm a big proponent of that. But I also, yeah, again, with meeting people where they're at, if someone's not working out at all, let's just start like with walking 10 minutes a day, maybe then 20 minutes a day. Then maybe we add in some resistance training or weight training. But I really start with what people like, because yeah, it's getting in that routine and that habit of like, okay, you know, at 8 o'clock I'm working out, or on my lunch break, or while I'm making dinner for the kids, which I do often. And it's just getting in that routine. So I really don't believe there's like a best form of exercise, although there's absolutely so many benefits to resistance training and weight training. We just need to get people moving. If they're not moving, once they are, we can get a little more nuanced and finesse it. But the big thing, you know, consistency builds the canyon. We just need to get people moving every day. And the big thing with movement too is when we focus on and it's okay to have, of course, aesthetic or weight loss goals as well. But when I find my patients focus on boosting their mood and all the other things that exercise provides, it allows them to stay committed a lot more easily when there's benefits beyond just physical.
I think it's so important that people, I had a really interesting conversation yesterday that's going to inform this. Like it was an aha moment for me with this woman we spoke to yesterday, Nancy McDonald, about, you know, thinking about your 10-year-old self, like what did that kid like to do, and being unapologetic about being curious and trying new things. And like, you know, in your adulthood, it feels maybe enormous to maybe pick up a skipping rope and try jumping for half an hour, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, and just see how it feels. So I love the idea of like being curious about movement and being curious about hobbies. And I feel like moms don't get the opportunity. Like my husband has a million hobbies. I mean, I'm like, I don't have a tremendous amount of hobbies, but I do like stuff. I used to really like stuff. Mm-hmm. And before, like my entire life was running errands and managing my children and managing this business. Like I had interests and hobbies, right? So I wonder perhaps if it's about, you know, talking to, you know, a professional like you to explore like what did I love when I was 10? And mm-hmm. how can I pick that up again without shame and without feeling silly, right? What do you think about that?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love that you said that. I actually have that on my intake form and it stumps almost all moms because I get it, especially moms that have, you know, younger kids that have kind of lost their own identity and their hobbies. Because I have an intake form people fill out before they see me. And one of the things is like, please list your like hobbies and what brings you joy. A lot of people leave it blank. So I follow up with it when I actually meet with them. And a lot of them are stumped. They're like, like what? Like it's like you wouldn't think it's a hard question, but it is for a lot of moms. Awesome. Okay, what like truly brings you joy outside of being a mom? What do you do like for yourself? What do you do for fun? And 9 out of 10 times, you know, they look away, they stare at the wall, they have to take quite a few minutes and they're like, let me get back to you. Let me think about that. It's like they're not sure because I get it. It's motherhood is full days and it's busy, but our joy and our doing things like just for us that we love is so important for our health. And I like that you touched on something too with what you mentioned too. Of course, we always like refer out and I work with a lot of other professionals, but what I also love about what we do is we don't get you to compartmentalize. It's like, you know, we talk about mental health, we talk about stress, we talk about what you love, we talk about what you eat, how you move, family dynamics, stressors. It's like, what I love about it is we really do take the whole person approach, because instead of, you know, like talking about just your mental health to a therapist and just your nutrition to a nutritionist and just whatever, I find they can get segmented. And I do think the story matters and really understanding the person. Like, I forget what the phrase is when they say like, blanking on it now, but it's like, you don't like treat the disease. It's like you treat like the person that just like seems to like their whatever balances that they have, but really focusing on the whole picture, I find makes my strategies a lot more effective for people than just, you know, band-aid solution, like giving band-aid solutions and compartmentalizing. It's really nice to take the whole thing. But to circle back to what you said, yeah, doing things that bring us joy as moms is so underrated. And it's so important, even a few minutes. Like, remember once my kids were like, I was out of the immediate postpartum, even just sitting down to read a book for like 3 minutes, I was like, this is so nice. Like, it doesn't have to be radical. You don't have to go on a week-long retreat, like little moments. Like, my new thing is where my girls go to school, there's a sauna. So after drop-off or before pickup, I'll go sit in there for 5 minutes and just breathe. And even that, like, feels so luxurious to just do something for myself.
Yeah, I think this is a really good motivator for people. If you're not, exploring different modalities to focus on yourself and to nourish yourself with simple lifts. I think we outsource so many things in our life to make our life better and easier. And if we have the ability to do so, this is like a great moment to bring in a high-level professional, Alexa Toronto, to your life in some way, either in person or virtually, to guide us and give us tools that are so, you know, as unique as our DNA, our double helix, our chromosomal makeup. Like she can help us get to the next level. So, Alexa, as we come to the conclusion of our epic conversation, is there anything else you want to share or any final message you want our listeners to hear? Go ahead.
I really think the key takeaway would just be knowing if you suspect you could feel a little better than you do right now, and just knowing that being a mom itself is not a diagnosis. I think it's so important because, like you said, I think we do sometimes kind of wear that as a badge, being these like exhausted, sleep deprived moms, but there are little tweaks and sustainable lifestyle changes that we can do. And I always ask my patients before I recommend them, like, can you do this on your busiest day? Because moms have full days and a lot of things to do. Would really just be that, yeah, being a mom is not a diagnosis, and there are small, sustainable little shifts that can have a major impact on mood, energy, and how you feel overall.
So we're wrapping up today with a question from the audience. Your question was, can you share ways to combat sugar cravings?
Yeah.
Okay, give us high level. Go for it.
Honestly, the most important thing, starting with just one thing, would just be making sure you are getting enough protein. Protein helps balance our blood sugar levels. It signals to our body that we are full, that we are satiated. If we're not getting enough protein, it's really common to crave sugar. And then I'm going to actually add a second one, because I know a lot of moms don't do this, is front loading our day with food. A lot of moms will like skip breakfast, eat a small lunch, then all of a sudden after dinner being like having all these cravings. And we usually just need to shift people's caloric intake, what they're eating. We need to eat a bigger breakfast, bigger lunch, more earlier in the day, because sometimes moms just don't eat enough. And then all of a sudden they're really hungry at night. And then the roller coaster of sugar cravings comes, because that when we're having those, we're just essentially like craving energy. So getting enough protein in, which is usually 25 to 30 grams per meal for most people, and eating more earlier and not skipping meals is really helpful to combat sugar cravings.
I love that. Well, thank you very much for your time today. If somebody is interested in getting in touch with you, what's the best way? I mean, your Instagram is amazing. You have so much valuable content. Let's go through your coordinates.
Yeah, the best way to find all of my things is just at alexatoronto.com. There's my booking link on there. I'm having an online like DIY postpartum program coming soon in March. I'm just finalizing that. And yeah, anything, ways to work with me, they'll all just be hubbed on alexatoronto.com.
Love that. Okay. So I will definitely be sharing all of that in the show notes. If you give Alexa a call or you discovered her through a podcast, just drop our name. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Mom Halo podcast, I'd love your support by sharing it with others, posting about us on social, or leaving a really good rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at the Mom Halo. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.